If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with us. Mark chapter number 2, Gospel of Mark. That's where we've been at on Wednesday evenings as the Lord allows us to be here. And we're here in Mark chapter number 2. We've come to verse number 23 in our verse by verse look at the Gospel according to Mark. Mark, as he was directing his Gospel toward those Roman readers, toward those that might not have been exactly accustomed to the Jewish way of thought and the Jewish way of living. But we see that he took those accounts in Jesus' life and put them together in this order that we might be able to have this gospel. I'm glad for good news, amen? And that's what the gospel is all about, good news from a faraway land. And so thankful for what Jesus has done for us. I want to preach to you tonight with the help of God. Amen. That's what we need to pray for, is that the Lord help us and the Lord just uplift us and motivate us and open up our mind and help us to be His servants tonight. But I want to preach to you on this thought, Dominator of Days. The Dominator of Days. And Mark chapter number 2, verse 23. If you found your place, let's stand tonight and honor God's Word by standing in honor and reverence as we read it, that most perfect, most precious, most pure Word that the Lord has preserved for us here in this Bible. The Bible says, Mark chapter 2 and verse 23, "And it came to pass that He went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and His disciples began, as they went, to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto Him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And He said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need and wasn't hungered, he and they that were with him, how they went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him. And He said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And He entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched Him, whether He would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse Him. And He saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And He saith unto him, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when He had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, He saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And He stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against Him, how they might destroy Him." And you may be seated tonight. The Dominator of Days. We find the Bible here in these two paragraphs describes how the Pharisees looked unto Jesus as how that He did not uphold the Sabbath day in the way and the manner in which they felt like that it ought to be upheld. And so we find that Jesus, always wanting to challenge the Pharisees and challenge the scribes and challenge those that were steeped in none other than religious tradition. Boy, it'd be good for God to just show up in some of our churches, amen, and just step in and allow Himself to be made manifest that He might disturb their religious tradition. Well, we find that Jesus here does something on the Sabbath day. Now, the Sabbath day was that which had been set apart by God. And we find the account over in the book of Exodus, chapter number 20, along about verse number 8. The Bible says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." And so we find that amongst the Jews, and only amongst the Jews, God made covenant with them and has set them apart, set them aside, a day that they could worship Him. And so we find that the Bible describes unto us this Sabbath day, that seventh day. Now, it was a day of sacred feast. It was a day in which that festivals were there and they were set apart as being Sabbaths. But we also note that that seventh day was that day in which that they abstained from all work. And it's interesting what the Bible describes in many ways as to what that was wrong to do on the Sabbath day. Exodus chapter 35 and verse 3 describes how it was wrong to even kindle a fire for cooking. The Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 15 and verse number 32 that they could not gather any fuel on the Sabbath day. It tells us in Jeremiah chapter number 17 verse 21 that they could not carry any bundles of any sort to and from the field. It describes in the book of Nehemiah chapter 10 and verse 31 how that it was unlawful to transact business on the Sabbath day. And so we know that God instituted this that the Jew might be able to have a time which they set everything else aside to honor Him. And so we find that the Bible describes all these things, but of course we know the Jews, a lot of them steeped in their tradition and their oral law, they put upon that many, many other codes and things that they had to do. And so we find that they even made it to where you couldn't even walk but a certain distance on the Sabbath day, about 200 cubits. And so we find that they added all types of things upon what the Jews might be able to do on the Sabbath days. And here the Pharisees are. They're out there with their eyes peeled. They're looking upon Jesus, waiting for Him to do something. And the Bible says there in verse number 23, "And it came to pass that He went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day." Now, as you study the Word of God, the Bible describes corn and wine as two primary things all throughout the Scripture. And a lot of times corn will entail a lot of the things that might have been harvested. Various types of grain, whether it might be wheat or rye or various types of things. So a lot of times we get in our mind that as to what the corn is. And, well, I like corn. Amen. White corn, yellow corn, hominy corn, I like corn. But we find that as the Bible describes this here, it's describing them walking through the fields of grain. And the Bible describes here that He and His disciples were there. And the Bible says there that as they went, they began there to pluck the ears of corn. That, as they walked down through those fields, as they walked down through that path, they reached over yonder, they grabbed them a handful of grain, and they began to pop the kernels on that and began to eat. And so we find here, the Bible says in verse number 24, "And the Pharisees said unto Him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful?" I want you to get a hold of something here tonight. First of all, as we think about Jesus and Him being the dominator of days, is an expression of affection. An expression of affection. Boy, I'm glad that my God is a God of love. And Jesus don't let little things set Him apart, set Him aside, and keep Him and restrain Him from showing the love of an Almighty God. Hey, there's a lot of churches that would just as soon keep with their tradition as to see somebody saved. There's a lot of folks that would rather hold to those things that they've done for years and years and years as to see God come in and do a great mighty work in their midst. Hey, Jesus did not want to have anything come between Himself expressing the affection and the love of an Almighty God. For the Bible says here that the Pharisees approached Him and said, "Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful, that which is not permitted?" Oh, you ought not do that here. Oh, you need to restrain yourself and quit from going through those fields and eating that grain. Do you not know that that's not permitted on this day, this Sabbath day? And Jesus expresses this or suggests this unto them. Bible says in verse number 25, "And He said unto them, Have ye never read what David did?" Now, you can read that account over in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 21, verse number 1 through 6. You can read this account here as to what that Jesus begins to describe. And He says, and he said unto them, "Have ye never read what David did? When he had need and wasn't hungered, he and they that were with him, and he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful, not permitted to eat, but for the priests. Now, the Bible describes in the book of Leviticus chapter 24 as to how that showbread was to be prepared, and as to how that it was to be presented, and as to where that it was to be laid. And it describes there specifically as to whom that was to partake within that showbread. And it was to be for the Levitical priests. It was to be for those who have been set apart and set aside to take care of the tabernacle. Well, David and his men had found themselves in a very hardship, found themselves in a desolate place and in a desperate time, and they went there amongst that place on the Sabbath day. Now, they set aside on Friday, I believe if I read the Bible correctly, and understand that they made 12 cakes on the Friday, and they laid them out there before the Lord and consecrated them before the Lord, that showbread, on Saturday. So what the priests did was they removed the 12 that were there on that table of showbread as they presented the new. And then they would take that showbread that had been consecrated unto the Lord but was not actively out there present before the Lord, and they begin to take that and they would use that to feed themselves. Well, Jesus comes along and His desire is not only to have an expression of affection, but He wants to give them an example of authority. Hey, the Bible tells us here in verse number 26 that Jesus said there, speaking of that, He says, "Did they not eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with Him?" Hey, I'll tell you what Jesus, I want to tell you tonight, my friend, is the dominator of all days. There's nobody that's going to oversee Him. There's nobody that's going to come before Him. Jesus has the desire to express the love and the affection of an Almighty God, but He also wants to give forth the example of His authority. My friend, we need to recognize and realize tonight that He is the dominator. He's the giver of life. He's the taker of life. He's the one in which that all things in which we have lies within. And my friend, you don't have nothing that you earned upon yourself. Everything you've got is what that God graced you with and what God mercifully gave you, and that what that you didn't earn, nothing that you deserved, that by God's grace you have what you have. And my friend, Jesus said there that the Levitical priest gave that unto David so that he could have that in which that he had need of. Hey, the Bible says in verse number 27, "And He said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." Hey, Jesus is looking at them and He says, "Man, do you not understand that you need to observe the Sabbath? You need to allow the Sabbath day to be a holy day. That you as a man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for you." You see, God gave that them as a day of rest. God gave that them as a day in which that they could observe God and glorify Him. But I'll tell you what, something that's going to glorify God is for you to step out and for you to reach out and for you to show His love and show His affection and show His kindness and His mercy. Hey, Jesus did not let some little old oral tradition, Jesus did not let something like that keep Him from showing the love of God and the example of His authority unto those men that walked alongside with Him. He wanted to make sure they had what they had need of. And my friend, He gave unto them. He said, "Take and partake," just as David did there before the priest in that day and before the king in that day. We find that Jesus wants us to see His example of authority. Look what the Bible says there. It says that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. That "made" means to become or to arise for, by the reason of, and on account of. And then Jesus goes on to say in verse 28, "Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." Ain't it interesting how that Jesus always wants to allow us to realize that He's on our level to a certain extent? He don't want us to think that He's just some far off God that has no idea, that has no perception, that has no ability to conceive where we're at in life. Hey, I want you to know that Jesus knows what your hurts are. Jesus knows what your joys are. Jesus knows what you're stressed over. Jesus knows what you take glad tidings in. Hey, Jesus knows everything that you're going through in this time in life. Hey, He's the Son of Man. That title in which that Christ designated unto Himself speaks of Himself being the head of the human family, of mankind itself. Jesus Christ is the forerunner. Jesus Christ is the epitome. Jesus Christ is the perfection of whom man ought to be. And He set the example. He set the pattern. And my friend, furthermore, He acted on behalf of every one of us. Hey, He's perfection, amen. I believe He's virgin born. I believe that He lived of His life perfect, without sin, without fault. He never did no error. And my friend, He gave of His life willingly upon Calvary tree and allowed His arms to be stretched out and allowed His feet to be nailed and allowed Himself to hang there between heaven and earth that He might make Himself a sacrifice for the sin of the world. Boy, I'm glad He didn't stay gone too long, ain't you? I'm glad that He died. I'm thankful for His blood. Oh boy, I'll be more so thankful for the fact that He arose on that third glorious day and He's seated right now at the right hand of the Father waiting on God to say, Son, go get our children. Son, go get the saved. Son, go get your bride. Oh, what a wonderful day it's going to be when all the world is going to fully see the example, the print of His authority when He calls us home. Boy, what a glorious, wonderful day that's going to be. Hey, we see the example of His authority. Look with me here in verse number 1 of chapter number 3. We see once again the expression of His affection. For the Bible says there, and He entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. Now, this withered hand describes one that had been dried up. For whatever reason, he was not able to use this. Now, a lot of folks don't believe he was born this way. It must have been an accident. It must have been a disease or something that affected him. But nevertheless, he had a withered hand. It was dried up. He could not use it. More than likely, his right hand. Now, I don't know about you. I know Ronnie's an oddball because he uses his left hand. There's probably some more in here. Some left-handed folks. Predominantly, Andy said Trina. That's all right. I'll still hang with y'all. But most folks use their right hand. Well, this man's hand was all withered up. And the Bible tells us here in verse number 2, it says, and they watched Him, being the Pharisees, watched Jesus, whether He would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse Him. They were waiting to see if He might make this man whole, if they might allow Him to be made complete, if He might do unto him that service, might restore him unto health, because they wanted to accuse Him. Hey, they already had it in their mindset. They wanted to bring Him before the judge. They wanted to bring Him before the jury of that Sanhedrin. They wanted to see Him cast out. They wanted to see Him done away with. Why? Because He was destroying their religious tradition. And my friend, the Bible tells us here in verse number 2, it says there they watched Him, they looked upon Him, they just waited for Him to make a mistake, waited for Him to do something. And the Bible says there in verse number 3, and He saith unto the man which had that withered hand, hey, this expression of affection, stand forth. Ain't it always awesome whenever Jesus speaks unto an individual and He tells them to stand forth? He tells them to stand. He's telling them to arise. He's causing them to have something within them that makes them want to stand, that makes them want to rise up, that makes them want to separate themselves from those others that are around them and be just a little bit different from everybody else. And Jesus spoke unto him, and He said, stand forth. That forth speaks of standing into something, bringing yourself unto something, looking towards something, going amongst someone. And my friend, that's what Jesus has asked everybody to do that's received Him as their personal Lord and Savior, is that there was a time, there had to be a time, amen, there had to be a time in which Jesus called upon you and He said, stand forth. Boy, that's an expression of affection. Boy, if it wasn't for the love of Jesus, where would we be? If it wasn't for His mercy and His grace, where would we be? Hey, we'd be separated from Him, first and foremost. We would be separated from Him in eternal darkness, destined for eternal misery in a place called hell. But Jesus gave unto us that expression of affection and said, stand forth. So we see here not only this expression of affection once again, but also that example, an example of authority. For the Bible tells us there in verse number 4, and he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save life or to kill? Hey, Jesus wants to do good, amen? And He wants us to give forth that example of authority that wherever we serve Him, we want to see good done unto others. Now, I know sometimes we get a little bit distraught, and sometimes we get a little bit hot under the collar. Sometimes we allow our emotions to overwhelm us and overrule us, and we think about doing evil unto somebody. But my friend, I'll tell you what, we ought not think that way too long. Hey, Jesus said there that it is an example of authority not to do evil and to do harm and to do wrong, but to do good unto someone. Doing good means doing something which profits others. Doing someone a favor, helping someone be benefited by God's mercy and by God's grace. So Jesus says there that, hey, is it not lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil? To save life or to kill. To kill means to destroy, to allow, to perish, to extinguish, and to be abolished forever. Hey, Jesus don't want anybody to be abolished forever from His presence, to be abolished forever from His light, to be separated in silence from here on out. No, Jesus wants somebody to come and receive this example of His authority by allowing yourself to be saved, by allowing yourself to have life. Hey, Jesus came to save life. Amen. He came to save it. To save it means to keep it safe and to keep it sound, to rescue it from danger and destruction. It speaks of one that is saved, to save a suffering one from perishing, to save one from a disease, to save one from a sickness, to allow them to be made whole and to be made well and to be healed. Well, I'll tell you what, I had a sickness that I couldn't find a cure for. I had a sickness that nobody else could help me with. But boy, I'm glad for Jesus, amen. Hey, His blood was a cure for my sin sickness. Hey, His blood was a cure for my disease that was going to send me to an eternal separation from God and spend eternity in misery in hell. Boy, I'm glad for the expression of affection. I'm glad for the example of His authority, but I'm also glad for the experience of ability. An experience of ability. Hey, this man received something that nobody else could give him. Hey, the Bible tells us here in verse 5, and it tells us literally about Jesus and His humanity. For the Bible says, and when He had looked round about on them with anger. Jesus had anger within Him. Now, I believe it's all right to get angry from time to time. I believe some of us get angry more than we ought to. But Jesus Himself got angry within Himself. That anger, as it's described, speaks of that natural disposition. It speaks of temper. It speaks of a movement or an agitation of the soul. It talks about a somewhat what stirs up inside of us and makes us think about doing something violent. It's an emotion that everyone is born with. And Jesus was no different. Why did He get angry? Why did He get so upset? Because He looked upon them Pharisees, and He looked upon them and their desire to be so religious, their desire to have this outward appearance of godliness. But on the inside of their heart, He knew that they were wicked. On the inside of their heart, He knew that they were separated from God and that they had no desire to see Jehovah upruled, to see God honored. Hey, they had no desire to truly see God do a great work in the midst of their nation. No, they'd rather just have it the way they've always had it. And my friend Jesus came along to turn the apple cart upside down. And the Bible tells us here in verse number 5, and when He had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved. Now listen, He went from having anger to having sorrow. Because once He really searched His heart and looked upon their soul, He realized that the state of mind that they were in and the desire that they had within themselves, all of a sudden Jesus began to become grieved. That grief speaks of a sympathetic nature because of one's self-injury. Do you realize tonight that we ought to be more grieved? Hey, it's good to get angry at some church members from time to time that don't have no desire to come to God's house, have no desire to put God first, have no desire to see their children raised up within the walls of a church under good sound teaching and gospel preaching. Hey, it makes somebody get upset and get angry. But my friend, what we ought to do is become more grieved like Jesus did and see that within themselves, hey, they're just doing their own selves injury. They're just hurting their own children. They're just bringing torment unto their own home because they've not put Jesus in the proper position of where He ought to be. Hey, I'll tell you what, He's the dominator of days, whether we allow Him to be recognized as that or not. Amen? Hey, He's Lord of the Sabbath, whether you recognize Him as being Lord of the Sabbath or not. Hey, He's the head of the church, whether you want to put Him in the position of being the head of the church or not. And I'll tell you what, He is one day going to stand as being the judge of all mankind. And you're going to have to look unto Him as being the master of all things, whether you want to look at Him on this day as being that or not. Hey, I'll tell you what, He's the dominator. Amen? He has that high authoritative position any day of the week. Jesus, the Bible says, when He looked around about on them with anger, being grieved, why? For the hardness of their hearts. I'll tell you what, I believe that the reason that we don't see a move of God so many times is because of the hardness of folks' hearts. Hardness. That hardness literally speaks of a covering with a callus. I like to think of it as cataracts. You know, I like to think of it as somebody that they can't see too well because there's a callus over their eye. There's something over their eye that's keeping them from truly seeing the way that they ought to see. And so the Bible tells us here that Jesus saw upon them His grief because of the hardness of their heart. That hardness speaks of obtrusiveness of mental discernment. It speaks of the fact that they have a dulled perception. You know what it talks about? It talks about folks that are just plain stubborn. And I'll tell you what, we've got a lot of that around these mountains, don't we? Got a lot of that. I'll tell you what, we ought not be stubborn. You know why? Because it grieves the heart of Jesus. We ought not be disillusioned by the things of this world because Jesus gets grieved with on the inside of His heart. Hey, He's given us forth the expression of affection. He's given us forth that example of authority. But He wants us to experience the ability that He has to do great wondrous things in our lives. Hey, the Bible tells us here that He spoke unto that man and He said, "Stretch forth thine hand." Hey, that's all God's asking us to do tonight. You might not have a withered hand tonight, but you might have a calloused heart. And my friend, what God's saying is, I just want you to stretch it forth toward heaven. I just want you to stretch it forth toward me. I just want you to bring it unto me that I might be able to make it whole. Hey, this man was told to just stretch it forth. Just stretch it forth. And the Bible says there, and he stretched it out and his hand was restored whole as the other. Amen. Hey, he was restored to his former state. He was restored unto that place that he desired to be. Hey, he was sound in body, sound in mind, sound in spirit. Remember, that's what we need to have happen in the church of the living God today, is to have some people that got some hard hearts, have some people that have some withered hands, that just stretch themselves forth toward heaven and say, "God, do a work in my heart." Why? Because I recognize you as being the dominator of all days. Amen. Hey, Jesus didn't let that Sabbath interfere with His ministering unto His disciples. He didn't allow the Sabbath interfere from Him ministering unto a man that had an illness, that had a weakness and a handicap. And my friend, God won't allow anything to come between you and Him if you look unto Him by faith. Hey, He's the dominator of our days. Hey, now look what the Bible says in verse 6. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway, immediately, took counsel with the Herodians. Now, the Herodians, what was a group of folks that were partisan unto Herod. Herod was the ruler. Herod was the one that was presiding over that place in that day and time. And there were some folks who were showing partisan politics unto him. Now, the Pharisees, normally, they wouldn't have grouped themselves up with the Herodians, but they had one enemy in mind and one enemy in common, and his name was Jesus. and they wanted to destroy him. That's what the Bible says. Hey, they took counsel one with another. They consulted, they deliberated, and that they might destroy him. Hey, they wanted to put him out of the way entirely. They wanted to abolish him. They wanted to put Jesus to ruin. But I'll tell you what, it didn't work. Amen. Why? Because he's the dominator of days. Well, I bet that crowd thought that they had achieved it all whenever they saw Pilate taking him away. I bet they thought that everything was going to be all right when they saw Jesus hung up there upon that cross and that sign of mockery put upon his head that said the King of the Jews. Boy, I bet they really thought that they had arrived when they knew that he had died and he had breathed his last breath and he gave up the ghost and they laid him in that tomb. Boy, they thought, hey, we've got it made. We've destroyed him. But boy, I'm glad that on that third glorious morning that death couldn't hold him. Amen. Hey, that grave couldn't keep him. Hey, I'm glad that he arose and he's the dominator of every day. Hey, he was God in the beginning. He was God then. He's God today and he'll be God forevermore. He's the Son of Man. 100% God, 100% man. I'm glad he's Lord. I'm glad he's Master. I'm glad he's Reigner, Ruler, Sovereign of all things. But most of all, I'm glad he's my Savior tonight. I'm glad he's my Savior. Is he your Savior? Is he the dominator of your day? What'd you do today? What'd you do? Like me, you worked, right? You toiled, you sweated. Some of you went to school. Let me ask you, where was Jesus at during your day? Did you pick him up by 11 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock? Or was he right there on your mind when you woke up this morning? Did you spend time with him in prayer? Did you allow him to speak unto you through the reading of the Word? Where's Jesus at in your day? Is he the dominator of your day? Or is he not? I'll tell you what, if he's not, he's grieved tonight over your soul. And you might be saved. I'm not saying you're not saved. Some of you, if you never trust in Jesus, then you're lost. You're not saved. But you can be saved and not have that close relationship with the Lord that you ought to have. Because things just get in the way. Boy, the devil loves to just muddle up our day and get us busy and keep our mind sidetracked. I'll tell you what, Jesus wants to be Lord of all your days. Will you allow Him to be that tonight? Every head bowed and every eye closed.